This morning we continue our study, or resume, I should say, our study in Philippians 4. So if you have your Bible, turn with me please to Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to read the first three verses. Philippians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs this morning are as unique as we are. But you know exactly what we need, and we've come here to hear from you, to hear from your word. Take your servant and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anytime you run into the word therefore, it's always good to ask why or what. And when we've been gone about 4 or 5 weeks from this study, it's good to think, well, now what does he mean by therefore what? Well, back in chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always good to remember that this world is not our home. Thanks to God's grace, by faith, and the finished work of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior, this is not our final destiny. This is where we've lived. This is what we know best. But I don't think we'll be in heaven long before we realize this is not home, that is. That's where our citizenship lies. That's where our ultimate loyalty lies. And so he says, in light of that, my beloved brethren, men and women, folks there at the church in Philippi, whom I long to see, he's looking forward to seeing them again. Remember, he's in prison. But he's looking forward to going back. He knows them. He was there. It was his effort that God blessed to begin the church in Philippi. So he knows them. He longs to see them. And he refers to them as my joy and crown. When I think about you, and he's going to name a few of them in this paragraph that we've just read. When I think about you, I think of you as my joy and in a very real sense, my reward. When I get to heaven, one of the greatest things I'm going to enjoy, Paul says, is seeing all of those people that God chose to bring to himself through my ministry. Some of those he will know. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, there are going to be a lot of people in heaven who heard the gospel from people who heard the gospel, who heard the gospel from Paul. And I think of you. And he says, you are my joy You're my crown. You're my pride. That I would be used to bring you to Christ. And with that as an introduction, we begin the first two of six commands that Paul issues to the church at Philippi as he finishes up this letter. The first, the rest of verse 1, stand firm. Stand firm in this way, in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm. That's a military term. It's hold the position. It's a frontline order, understanding that the enemy is right in front of you, that you are under attack. Hold your position. And of course, that would mean a lot of things to a lot of different military positions. And Paul is saying, that's exactly what I want you to do. Stand firm. Stand firm in this way, understanding who you are. Well, if my citizenship is in heaven, I'm a child of God. He is my heavenly Father. That's who I am. And that's why I can stand firm. In the last several days, we've heard a lot about our military. Many of them in harm's way. Many of them bravely standing firm, holding their position, understanding who they are and who they represent. Here he says, stand firm in the Lord. In His power, in His strength. I pray that regularly. You probably do too, maybe in a little different way, but Lord, when you bring those challenges, and they will come, when you bring those challenges, help me to meet them in your strength, in your power, in faithfulness to your word. Because when I rely upon myself, I fail miserably almost every time. So stand firm in the Lord. And then he refers to them again as my beloved, knowing you are loved. How important is that? I think in terms of circles, you know, it's important that spouses know they are loved. It's important for children to know that they are loved. And in family and all of the challenges that come into family, it's important that those closest to us, it's important that we know that they love us and that they know that we love them. And when that's the case, we can weather almost anything. But that circle expands. We have a family here of people who love one another and who express that love for one another in a variety of ways. But ultimately, the power, the encouragement that comes from understanding that the very God of heaven, the Creator, loves us. Yes, John 3:16 is true. For God so loved the world. That's absolutely true, and that's where we begin, certainly. But how important is it to understand when you wake up in the morning, God loves me. Yes, He loved me enough to save me. Yes, He loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me. And through the resurrection, prove that He is exactly who He says He is, the Son of God, our Savior. All of that is true. Very, very important. But how comforting is it to know that the day after He loves me, and the day after that He loves me, and He cares about me. It wasn't just enough that He saved me. He continues to love me and care for me. And in that position, I can stand firm. Under attack, yes. But I can stand firm. In my own strength? No, His. Stand firm. And then secondly, verses 2 and 3, live in harmony. Understanding who we are, understanding what we live, we should be able to reflect to the world around us harmony with one another. But notice what he says. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony. Aren't you glad your mom and dad named you something else? Can I get a witness? Two ladies in the church who weren't getting along. Now, let me rush to say, this is not a doctrinal issue. If it were a doctrinal issue, Paul would have called one of them to confess and repent. If one had violated the other, sinned against one or the other, then Paul would have called them out on it. This is a situation where, for whatever reason, all of a sudden, these two gals just aren't of the same mind. They're not pulling together on the same team. There's conflict. You've been there. We're just not reading off the same page right now for some reason. What's going to be the answer to that lack of harmony? Again, it's not a doctrinal issue. He's not saying, well, quit doing this and that will go away. There's conflict. There's a strain between these two ladies. He's going to call upon others to help them and remind them of who they are. Paul says, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared in my struggle in the cause of the gospel. Now, Paul does something here that, at least in our English Bible, doesn't quite sound right. He says, indeed, true companion. The word he uses is yoke fellow, fellow team member here. You know, we're in the same yoke, pulling in the same direction. We're fellow workers. But up until this point, and before these two verses are over, he's back to talking to the church. Who is this? What is this true companion? Now, either it's somebody he's just not mentioning for whatever reason, but he's used two names and he's going to use one more after. So maybe it's just as simple as this was one of those places where our translators translated a word that didn't need to be translated. Maybe he's calling another name. Now, if that's the case, It's not going to sound any more familiar than what we've heard so far. It's the Greek word, Suzygos, a Greek name. And maybe that's what this is. He's just mentioning another fellow in the church that perhaps can offer some encouragement to these two ladies. And what is the encouragement? Help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. These two gals, along with this true companion, or Suzygos, and Clement, he's mentioned as well, were all there at the beginning when Paul and Silas first came to Philippi. Second missionary journey. They get into this Roman colony. It's a small town. Its significance is where it sits. And it is so significant that just being a citizen there or being born there makes you a Roman citizen, which is a big deal at this time. So it's a significant colony. They get there and there is no synagogue, which means that the Jewish community is small enough that there isn't 10 men head of household. So what are we going to do? Well, they go down to the river and they find a place of prayer. They probably asked around a little bit, and sure enough, they found some folks there praying. And Paul begins to share the gospel, and that creates trouble. Eventually, they're arrested. The charges? Well, they're inciting riot. They're creating confusion. They're asking us to follow customs that are contrary to those of us who are proper Romans. And that's all that needed to be said. They were thrown into jail. You remember that story? God gave them the opportunity to leave, but they choose not to. A jailer asks, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You and your household," which is exactly what happened. And a church began. They began to meet in the house of Lydia, a businesswoman who regularly came through Philippi, often enough to have a home there, big enough to house the church. And these ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, were a part of that. Were they down at the river with Lydia? I don't know. And Suzygos and Clement, were they there? Or did they come to Christ a little bit later? I don't know. But they were all there at the beginning. And they knew the struggles. And that's what these gals needed to remember. Remember what we're here for. Your citizenship is in heaven. Stand firm on this solid ground of who you are and live in harmony, because there's a battle going on and we need to all be working together. Just like in the old days when there weren't enough Jews to have a synagogue, when there weren't enough believers to build a church, but we could meet in Lydia's home. And we took that gospel and we shared it in the marketplace. We shared it with our families. And people were saved and they were baptized. And the church grew. And we loved one another. whatever it is that's creating the conflict, set it aside for what is truly important. And then as he wraps this up, he recruits also, at the end of verse 3, the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. People who aren't named here for whatever reason. But he says their names are in the book of life. They're not listed here, but they are listed where it really, really matters. Now, anytime you see that phrase, book of life, you've got to expand a little bit to the context, because the book of life meant different things to different people, different authors that would use the phrase. Sometimes the book of life was just that. It was a reference to all of those who have ever lived. Then there are other times an author in Scripture would refer to the book of life, and he's simply referring to those who are currently alive. These are all the people who are alive, and when you die, your name gets removed from the book of life. But eventually, that book of life began to refer to a list of all of those who are truly born again. All of those, Old Testament, New Testament, saved by grace through faith in Christ. Remember Abraham. By faith, God considered him justified or righteous. So all, Old Testament, New Testament, saved by faith as a result of God's grace, whether it's in anticipation of that final sacrifice or on this side of the cross in light of that sacrifice. All of those who are truly born again. And that's who Paul's talking to here. We've mentioned this. The church at Philippi is no different than any church. There are going to be people there from time to time who are not truly believers. These comments are directed toward those who are truly born again. And when you look among you and you see a couple of people who just, they're grating at each other for whatever reason, And the fact that they're not getting along seems to be pulling back on the group. It's like we've forgotten what our mission is, what the cause is, what the purpose is. And it's all about personality. And we're not getting along when we should. So Paul calls us to stand firm and to live in harmony. Harmony produces stability because we're all moving in the same direction. We all understand what the goal is: to honor, to glorify God, to live faithfully and obediently, lives that are winsome so that others can be drawn to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Harmony produces that stability. Discord leaves us vulnerable. When the world sees us fighting, when the world sees the church not getting along, it leaves us vulnerable and gives them an excuse to ignore what we have to say. It leaves the church vulnerable. So stand firm. This is not a game, it's a battle. Remember who, what you're fighting for. And in light of all that Paul has said here to the church at Philippi, play your position. Know how God has gifted you and encouraged you. Do what He's called you to do. And as you're doing that, encourage others to do the very same thing. And live in harmony. Stand firm. live in harmony. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray that we've handled it accurately. What a joy it is to be a part of this family. We don't agree all of the time, but we do agree on our purpose. We may not always agree on how to meet a particular objective, but once we've decided, we all move in that direction. And I believe it's because those who went before us laid a foundation and an example of how to stand firm. And the benefit of living in harmony. And the positive example that that is to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.